Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 127. Getting into the football season, and I remember the story about an atheist down in Texas at the on the main campus of a specific college. In fact, it was Texas A&M. And he was standing up on his little soapbox, and he was making fun of God and deriding God. And if there's a God in heaven, may he knock me off of this soapbox right now. And he thought he was pretty slick in saying that, and it was blue sky. And sure, there wasn't going to be a lightning bolt or anything like that. But all of a sudden, the crowd parted, and a man hit him and knocked him off that soapbox. He never even saw it coming. He had no, completely blindsided right up until the last moment. And he got up, and he said, "What in the world did you do that for?" And the guy stood up, and he was a Texas A&M linebacker, Mike, middle linebacker, they call him Mike, right? He was a middle linebacker, and he said, "God was busy, and he told me to knock you off that box." So there, and the truth is, as this world is living today, we're living like the world is living, the cosmos is living like there's no hope, there's no God in heaven. And what I want to do this morning, go back, I told you already, Psalm 127, I'm going to be a little bit different this morning. I am not going to preach how I like to preach, and that's a textual message. A textual message is taking a passage and just preaching exactly what is in that passage. That's the best way to explain it. And I believe that helps a church more than any other kind of preaching. So you're exegeting scripture, but you're not getting bogged down, and you're taking a complete text and you're preaching exactly what the Word of God says. Well, I'm not going to do that this morning. Instead, it's going to be a series of thoughts that I hope are somewhat organized. Psalm 126 and verses 5 and 6. Stand with me, please, and I'll read these two verses. While you're standing, Solomon said in Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Dr. Luke said the Holy Spirit said by way of Dr. Luke, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We read here in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Shall without a doubt come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It was Jesus said, "You come after me, you follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." Father, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God and that which I'll attempt to share this morning. God, we ask for an anointing. I ask for a supernatural infilling of the Holy Spirit so that the supernatural Word of God would not be bound by the flesh. Lord, we pray that you would work in all of our hearts. God, we ask that whatever happens here this morning, and it's tough sometimes to keep my thoughts together when I don't preach a textual message, would you lead us along in this message? God, would you take over? And we pray that everyone here be convicted about what needs to happen today in our lives. While you're standing, with your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, how many would say by raising your hand, "I have people in my life that I know are not born again and I'm concerned about them"? Just slip your hand up. Just raise it up high. Okay, put your hands back down. When is the last time you prayed for them? Say, "Oh, preacher, you're not going down this road." Oh, yes, I am. When is the last time you spoke to them? When's the last time you verbalized who your Savior was so that they could understand? Would you pray right now where you're standing, silently in your heart, "God, set me on fire again. God, make me bold again. God, would you give me a burden again? Just pray that silently. Best way you know how. God in heaven, touch lives this morning. Raise up soul winners for the glory of God. God, we pray for those that will be spoken to this week that are not born again. We right now, without knowing their name, we bring them to the throne. Holy Spirit, you know who's going to be spoken to, who's going to be witnessed to. Would you save souls this week? Use your people, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We're a pro-life church. We say that all of the time, and we do. We know that God is the source of life. We're against abortion. We're against murder. We're pro-life. We're pro-family. We're all of those things. Can I go a step further and just kind of carry this thought through? We are pro-eternal life as well. And God is also the source of eternal life. And those that are born again, born a second time, they're going to live forever as a New Testament church. We are to be a soul-winning station. As a New Testament church, we're to be reaching the lost. And it's easy to kind of pull the oars in out of the boat, pull in all the nets, pull in all the fish lines, and just kind of go with the current of the world. And that is a lazy way out. And God forbid that Fundamental Baptist Church would ever be just become that kind of uptown church where we just kind of gather together on Sunday morning and see the same people that we always see and not reach our neighbors that are lost. There's two kinds of people in this world. Jesus spoke to that. Those that are born again and those that are lost. There's the saved and there is the lost. Everybody you know is one of those two kind of people. They're either saved or they're lost. In Jeremiah, I read it this week in chapter 8 in verse 20, says the summer has ended. The harvest is past. And we are not saved. Now, I understand the context there to Israel. And I understand we ought to be concerned about where we are spiritually as well. But you know, summer's ended. It's hard. I don't want to admit it. This is the second Sunday of September. Labor Day was last Monday. It's over. It's gone. This is now the fall season. Time sure slips away fast, doesn't it? Just kind of slips through our fingers. Here and gone. And for glory to God for all the preparations that have been made. By this time next week, man, all the carpet will be down. The carpet will match up here on the platform. We'll likely have the new chairs in by then. We need to pray that the glass comes in so that last week some people were making fun of me. Oh, who's that guy with the Crystal Cathedral? Was that Robert Schuller, not Phil Schuller. Robert Fuller. Wasn't Schuller. Wasn't fighting. But Bob Schuller, but it was Robert Schuller, all right? And the Crystal Cathedral, and we don't have the glass. And I pray the glass does come in this week. And would you pray about that too? Otherwise, we're the Visqueen Cathedral. That's what we are. And you know what? That's okay if that's what God wants. I want to share just some thoughts. I'll get off my little introduction here this morning and just some thoughts. And I'm just praying that God will touch all of our hearts. This, you got to know this. That everybody without Christ, they're lost. They're going to hell. Understand this. The best this world has is lost. There's some good people. By human standards, there's some good people in our society. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. But no matter how good they are without Christ, they're going to a Christless eternity. They're going to hell. They're going to a place called hell. Nobody in this world is good enough to go to heaven by their own good works. Look at Isaiah 53:6. I'll just quote it. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. Go to Isaiah chapter 64. Turn there. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. Hear the prophet. The Old Testament prophet. Anybody here starts thinking they're a really pretty good guy, really a pretty good gal. You know, we're better than the average person. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. For anybody to think that they're good enough to go to heaven without being born of the Spirit of God, without having the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you are on a fool's errand. Please understand this. The Apostle Paul called himself the least of the saints. And you are not as good a person as the Apostle Paul. He called himself the least of the apostles. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, the best, the cleanest, the most upright person this world has to offer. Without Christ, is lost. They're going to hell. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Go to Romans in chapter 3 and verse 10. Let me read the entire passage there. Romans and chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, none, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. He's describing our world. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. None of us measure up. That's why we need a Savior. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. America. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. Make no mistake about it. Please understand this. I know it's a simplistic thought, but sometimes we seem to gloss this over. Everybody without Christ is going to hell. Because we are all children of Adam. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I hope you're thinking of some people that you love right now, that you're not sure are saved. It might be a mom, it might be a grandpa, it might be an uncle, it might be a child, it might be a coworker, it might be a distant cousin, it might be somebody that lives in close proximity, or it might be somebody that's all the way on the other side of the world, but you know who they are, and you don't know that they've ever been born again. They have never had that born again experience where they receive the second birth, adopted into the family of God. Please don't let the devil sugarcoat this. If a man or a woman has never received Christ as their Savior, if they've never humbled themselves, repented, and heard that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and asked God for forgiveness of sins, they're not going to heaven. If they're your child, and all they've done is mouth words, and there's never been that heart cry out to God, they're not going to heaven. Get yourself a burden. Somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to be concerned. The psalmist said, I looked to my right and I looked to my left and I found no man that cared for my soul. What about your loved ones? Do they know that they care for your soul? Are you concerned about them? All are lost unless they come to Christ. Number two, hell is forever. And I don't have time to turn there, but Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul said about those people that are lost. Paul said this. He said, I'm a debtor. I owe them the gospel. I owe them the right to hear the truth so that they too can be born again. I want to tell you this. I led two people to the Lord this week, Ron, a man named Ron, and a man named Wayne. And I walked up to Ron and I said, man, have you ever thought about what's going to happen? Have you ever thought about eternal life? What's going to happen after you die? And he said this to me. He said, the older I get, the more I think about it. And I thought right then, and I knew I was going to lead him to the Lord. And I thought right then, how many people are like that out there? If somebody would just tell them, if somebody would care for their soul and tell them about Jesus. So I'm leading him to the Lord, and while he's praying and receiving Christ as his Savior, after I give him the gospel, he's praying and receiving Christ. And I remember, I had this thought often, man, this is too, it almost seems too easy. It almost seems like, how can it be this easy, and yet it's not being done more often? And the fact is, it is easy. If you or I would just get a burden, if we just realize that hell is forever, if we start caring about the people that are around us, and we would open up our mouth about Jesus instead of football, or instead of hockey, or instead of your flowers, or instead of what you're going to eat on Friday night, if we would just tell them, and that's normal Christianity. That is why the church is here. That's why the Holy Spirit said through Dr. Luke, ye shall receive power. Do you know that power? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That soul was saved, was born again, eternally on their way to heaven. Their name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I didn't even work, because Jesus did it all on the cross 2,000 years ago. He's just looking for that vessel. Everybody's lost until they come to Christ. The second thing is, hell is forever. Forever is a long, long time. Place of no return. Matthew 25. Would you turn over there with me, please? Matthew and chapter 25. And verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. To choose wrong and make a forever choice, that's a big mistake. Hell is forever. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. The rich man that Jesus spoke of in Luke in chapter 16, he's still in hell. He is still there. He's going to be resurrected for a moment. A moment in history, a moment in time, and stand at the great white throne judgment, and is to be cast into the lake of fire. And if I forget to preach this, somebody shout out Revelation chapter 20 when I'm saying I'm done with the message, all right? Because I want to end with that this morning. And I'm not really following, I'm just an outline. But know this, hell is forever. The word everlasting in the Greek is the Greek word ionesis. It's found 71 times in the New Testament. 64 times it's talking about God. He's forever. 7 times it's talking about hell. It's forever. You say, oh, that's archaic and nobody preaches that anymore. That's a big problem. Hell is real. Hell is no joke. It won't be a party. You won't be there with friends. It's a place of outer darkness, of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of people crying out in anguish. It's a place of no return. It is forever. Many a man, many a woman who expect to get saved in the 11th hour of their life die at 10:30. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Galatians chapter 1, turn over there quickly. Galatians and chapter 1. I'll not belabor this, but I want to read it. Galatians and chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. You got to know this. Everybody's lost until they get saved. So there's all kinds of candidates for salvation. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He is not willing that any should perish. His plan is that they all get born again. Number two, hell is forever. And forever is a long, long time. And this is a sad truth. There are a lot of people that are deceived. They live in deception. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, don't turn there. The Apostle Paul said, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that don't receive Christ. In other words, there are people that are deceived. I say this, and it breaks my heart, and I hope it breaks your heart. There are people that are as sincere as they can possibly be, and they're sitting in churches this morning, and if they died today, they would go to hell. They want to love God. They would get saved if somebody would tell them, if somebody would explain the gospel. Ron was ready to get saved this week. Wayne was ready to get saved this week. Somebody just needed to tell them how to be born again. And they were ready, and they wanted it, and they received Christ. And I saw them the next day, and I talked to them about it again. Man, they know they're on the way to somebody. They were deceived. They were just going through life thinking, well, nobody can know for sure. Well, I believe in God. Man, I went to Sunday school. I believe in Jesus. I know he's the Son of God. I know there was a place called Calvary where he died for the sins of mankind. That is a wonderful thing. And that's all they know. Boy, I hope I'm going to heaven. How many people do you know like that? And that is all they know. And if you would just tell them, say, hey, listen, the Bible says these things have I written unto you that you might know that ye have eternal life. Go back to Revelation chapter 20 now. Revelation chapter 20. Well, I hope God blesses this message. I'm just kind of shooting from the hip up here. Didn't quite plan it to be that way, but that's where I'm at. All right. Verse 8 and 9 of chapter 20, the final conflict, war of Gog and Magog, and God devours them. It says in verse 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Say, preacher, the Bible says there's a lake of fire. Oh, yes. It's the bottomless pit. It's not Hades. It's not where the dead that are unsaved are right now. They're going to be resurrected for what I'm going to read right now. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. That already happened in the previous verses. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Never going to end. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. By the way, the one that sits in the throne is Jesus. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John that God hath committed all judgment unto his Son, Jesus. This speaks, we're reading of that great final judgment for everybody that has never received Christ as their Savior. They're going to be resurrected out of Hades. They're going to stand before the throne of God, the great white throne. They're going to be judged according to their works. I don't want to be judged according to my works. Thank God Jesus went to the cross and I received him as my Savior, and I'm going to heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. The books are going to be opened. I'll not read all of it. The books are going to be opened to show them the bad things that they have done, and then the book of life is going to be opened. And since their name is not there, they're cast into the lake of fire. An ominous day. I often think, what's it going to be like? I believe we'll be there. I think it's going to be silent. They'll receive the wrath of God. Ain't nobody in here ever received the wrath of God. You say, well, why would that happen? They didn't receive Christ. God sent his Son. He went to the cross. And you spurn him? You reject him? That does not please God the Father. He sent heaven's best. Let's read on. I'll just read it. Verse 11 says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You die without Christ, you die in your sins. If you die without Christ, you die in your sins, you die in your sins, you must pay for your own sin in a place called hell. But if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you receive the righteousness of Christ. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. You'll not stand at the great white throne judgment. You'll stand at the Bema seat of Christ. And it won't be whether you're going to heaven or hell, because you're already in heaven at that point. This judgment right here, the great white throne, is not about whether people are going to heaven or hell. It's how much damnation they receive. They're going to be cast into the bottomless pit. They're going to be resurrected from a place where the worm dieth not, where the fire dieth not. That's where the unsaved dead are right now, that place called Hades. They're resurrected. They stand before the great white throne when their name is called out, and their name is, their life is reviewed. And the big kicker is, their name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life. And the recording angel will say something to this effect: his name is not here. And they'll take him and throw him into the lake of fire. He says, is that really going to happen? It doesn't have to. That's why God's Son came to this earth. Are you born again? Make sure you are. Number two, what about those people you're concerned about? That'll be a terrible day. Will you see some loved ones stand before the throne? And you stand perhaps in the shadows, perhaps behind the throne. We don't know that kind of detail. And your eyes meet, and you never told them. The Old Testament prophet said, his blood will I require at your hand. We have the greatest message that was ever told, of the greatest story that was ever told, of the Savior that came down from heaven to this sinful, sin-cursed, sin-stained world and made a way for sinners to go to heaven. And you got born again. Someone cared about you and talked to you about Jesus, and you got saved. And there are people all around you, and you live in the lap of luxury as far as the world is concerned, and you're not telling them of Christ. Please. It's fall. This is harvest time. The summer has ended. The harvest is past. And we are not saved. I wanted to make a big thing about this. This is the way you got to look at it. If you're going to be a winning football team, you got to take the field like you're the best player on the team, and nobody else is going to get the tackle unless you get there. I was telling one of my grandsons this. Man, you run 20 yards to make the tackle, you get a piece of that ball carrier. I don't care if he's going down to the ground. He's not down until the whistle blows. Man, you got to get your motor going. You got to have that furnace burning hot within. And you got to think that if you don't make the tackle, nobody else is going to make the tackle, and they're going to score. That's the way you got to go at it, man. You just do not be denied. And that's exactly how we need to go at soul winning. We gotta act like we're not the only ones. We're not. But we gotta act like our mindset's gotta be is, man, I'm the last person to stand in the gap. If I don't do it, maybe nobody else ever will. This is my opportunity right now. God brought them to me. Here we are face to face. This is it. I've gotta do it right now. And that's the way you gotta go at it. That is a burden. Paul said, man, I held nothing back. Paul said, man, I wept night and day. He said, I'm free from the blood of all men. The apostle Paul, he was red hot with the gospel. But ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. You'll be able to preach the gospel. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's right here, and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That word uttermost is a fantastic word. It speaks of the last places, the farthest places, in distance and in time. You receive power to preach the gospel unto the last places, unto the farthest places, unto the worst on this earth. And the gospel will redeem souls. We're going to see people in heaven you never dreamed was going to go to heaven. And there won't be people there that we thought were going to be there.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbc.org. www.fellowshiponline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.